Acts 10 Sundays, and so buckle up, and here we go. Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. in Hamilton, Bermuda, 92-year-old Johnny Barnes goes to his work of making people happy. Watch this video. In Hamilton, Bermuda, Johnny Barnes has become quite the celebrity. They've even erected a statue near where he stands on a roundabout for 8 hours a day, waving and blowing kisses to the cars that go through the roundabout on their way to work, and he catches them as they're on their way home, telling him he loves them and he wants them to have a great day. His philosophy is this: humans need to love each other, and that's all there is to it. You can watch the rest of this video on YouTube if you'd like. It's about 10 minutes long. It tells a story of a man who several years ago decided he wanted to do something in his life to make people happy. There's too many people in this world who are unhappy, and there's no one there to help cheer them up. What else could I do with my time but just tell people that I love them? Why? Because God loves them. Johnny Barnes is a Christian and has made quite the impact in his small community on that island of Bermuda. There's even one story of a lady who woke up one morning in a bad mood. And she was determined that no one was going to take her bad mood away from her. And as she approached the roundabout, she decided she wouldn't even look his way. And as she made her way by, she didn't look. But she got stuck in the roundabout and had to go back by again. She couldn't help but look over at Johnny Barnes, and it changed her attitude for the rest of the day. Simply saying, I love you. Have a good day. It's said that people will go through who are tourists that have heard of this man, and if they feel like maybe he didn't make eye contact with them, they'll stay in the roundabout till they get the eye contact and the actual kiss that was blown to them, maybe not the car next to him. There's something that we're attracted to when it comes to happiness. As I asked last week, how many of you like to be grumpy? Hopefully no one. But how many of us like to be happy? How many of us like to be around some people who are happy? I think all of us would, because it can really change our attitudes. You may never come up with a cure for cancer. You may never come up with a cure for AIDS. You may never make millions of dollars and become a philanthropist and start helping people in third world countries that can't find clean drinking water or battle starvation. Another disease, you won't be able to help them financially. There are a lot of things in this life that we see that maybe need done, others may be able to do with their finances or with their smarts or with their influence. But you just say, well, little old me, there's not much I can do. But there's one thing you can do, and that's spread some happiness. It doesn't require a degree. It doesn't cost you any money. It may just cost you a little time, some effort, to help make some people happy. The challenge I'm laying here this morning is to make 100 people happy over the next 10 weeks. I want you to take this challenge, to make 100 people happy over the next 10 weeks, the next 10 Sundays. And this will take intentional living. This will be something that you have to intentionally choose to do each and every day. But the challenge is to start right now thinking of those who are around you that you could reach out to and show some kindness, to reach out and help them in some way. Whatever it takes to cause a smile to happen. You may not even realize the happiness you spread. It may not be expressed by a smile, but as they walk away or the next day, they'll think about what you had said or done for them. They'll smile on the inside. So the challenge for the next 10 weeks is to make 100 people happy. And start thinking today, who is it I can help? I don't know when you were younger. When I was younger, I vaguely remember the ice cream truck going around the neighborhood. When I grew up in a very small town, Payne is the biggest town I've ever lived in. So I lived in Fryna, growing up there, a town of 500 people. You know, I vaguely remember the tune of the ice cream truck going through the neighborhood. Whenever we first moved to Payne a few years ago, that first summer, kids and I were out in the yard, and so was Tristan. We were playing, and all of a sudden, I said, shh. I heard a noise. It was like a chime. It was going repetitively over and over, and it got louder, and it got louder, and it got louder. And the next thing I know, this truck comes down the street and turns the corner. My kids are like, what is that thing? What's that person doing? I said, it's the ice cream truck. The ice cream truck? What do you mean the ice cream truck? The guy has ice cream in his truck, and he's going to come around, and if we wave at him, run out to the street corner, he'll stop, and we have to pay some money, and we'll get ice cream. They do that here? Oh, my goodness, they couldn't believe it. You know, there's something about the ice cream truck that you could have been out pulling the weeds out of your garden, and you hear the ice cream truck. Man, you're in just a grumpy mood. I'm picking these stupid weeds. They grow faster than my vegetables and my flowers. I hate doing this. It hurts my back and my knees. Hands are all dirty. I'm sweating everywhere. Ice cream truck. Our attitude changes. All of a sudden, our grumpiness turns to happiness. We can't wait, you know. Two neighbors that are enemies could come together and, you know, go to the ice cream truck at the same time and get along. It just spreads some happiness. My question for you is this. Could you become the ice cream truck in your circle? Could you be the person in your circle, maybe at work, who spreads some happiness and maybe it brings some people together? Or spreads some happiness and it, well, sew back together a little altercation that happened a few weeks ago at work. Maybe at home, with your spouse, with your children, with your neighbors, with your friends. Could you be the ice cream truck in your circle? If you could think of it like that. The person that brings happiness wherever it goes. Dishing out ice cream. And guess what? You're not going to charge them for it either. Could you be the ice cream truck? Could you spread some happiness? You might be thinking, man, the preacher has lost his mind today. With all the disruptions in our world, people dying of hunger, wars, all the negative things that are going on in our world, and here the preacher's telling us we need to drive around an ice cream truck. This makes no sense. This is nonsense, actually. Who has time for this kind of stuff? Jesus did. Jesus did. Jesus made people happy. I don't know if you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and taken away the fact that Jesus made people happy, but I think that he did. When Jesus was around people, they got excited. He even got people to leave everything they knew. Follow after him. He created excitement and he got people happy. People would flock to hear him speak. Men climbed the roof of a house because their friend couldn't walk to lower him through the roof because they knew what Jesus could do. Jesus made people happy. Children loved him. Jesus was known as the kind of guy that would not say, I can't hang out with that group or this group, but Jesus had time for all people. And he brought people together, and he made people happy. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Matthew 11, verse 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." As Jesus walked the dusty roads of Israel, whether he was in the cityscape of Jerusalem or in the northern part of Israel or in and around the Sea of Galilee in the hick towns where people weren't, life was a little slower. Regardless of where Jesus was, he saw one common theme among the Jewish people. He saw that they were downtrodden. He saw that they were oppressed by those who were in leadership. And so Jesus went around preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, and that, in fact, spread some happiness. Jesus says here in Matthew 11, 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Jesus is saying, the teachings I will give you, they will give you life and life to the full. They will bring happiness into your life. You won't be burdened anymore. Jesus takes our burdens. You know, one thing I've read as you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no one ever described Jesus as a cranky person. He was never described as the kind of guy who got upset, who was this hard to get along with, was cranky, but rather Jesus spread happiness. Regardless of who the crowd was, Jesus had time for them, and he made people happy, and he's still making people happy today. And Jesus today has some special agents to distribute his happiness, and those special agents are us. It's Christians. It's the church. And I want you to know that we have what it takes to make people happy. We really do. We have what it takes to make people happy. When you became a follower of Christ, something miraculous happened. Your old self, who you are in your heart, your heart was transplanted with the heart of Christ. And the old you, day by day, by day by day, starts to resemble Christ more and more and more and more, if you choose so. And if you choose so, your old self that's dominated by sinful desires and notions becomes filled with the peace and love of Christ. Therefore, we're able to speak happiness into people's lives. Paul said it like this, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." And you need to have that attitude if you want to take on this challenge of making 100 people happy in the next 10 weeks. That it's no longer me, I don't represent myself, but I'm a representative of Christ this side of eternity while I'm here with the days I have left, and I'm going to do what I can to spread the love of Christ and make people happy. It's Christ in us that helps us to see people how Christ saw people. As we have to look through the lens of Jesus. Unfortunately, too often, we look through the human lens and, well, we see injustice and we get angry and we get aggravated about how things are going on in our world. And, well, that brings us down, doesn't it? That brings us down. If we look through at life through the lens of Christ, maybe we'll see things a little bit differently. We'll be able to spread that happiness. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus preaches a Sermon on the Mount. And he teaches some difficult teachings. There are those who listened that day that would walk away from Christ, never to go back to hear him speak ever again, to think that he's some kind of fanatical rabbi teacher, a little bit out there in left field. There are others that stayed and they listened, and they understood and they accepted what it is that Jesus had to say. And Jesus had something to say about those who would follow him. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, when you're eating vegetables, what makes those vegetables taste a little bit better? Some salt, right? Salt adds some flavor. It makes things taste just a little bit better than what they would have tasted like. Trista bought some low-sodium ham from Walmart. Had never had that before. She was gone yesterday driving the volleyball trip to Shelbyville, and I just pulled out a piece of that lunch meat just to give it a shot. And I text her and said, "This low-sodium it was chicken, not ham. This low-sodium chicken, it has no taste. It literally is like drinking a glass of water. There was no taste to it whatsoever. And so we know that salt gives flavor to food. But also what Jesus was telling his listeners and us today is that we add flavor. We add flavor to our world as a Christian. We're to spice things up a little bit. We can do that by spreading some happiness. Also, it tells us that we're the salt of the earth. One other thing that salt does is it preserves things. And we're here to help preserve God's most precious possession, and that's human life. It's human beings. We're here to help spread the happiness of Christ so that others will come to know Christ, so that their life will be preserved in Christ. The very next verse, Jesus says in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world." I drove Jerry's bus the other day to take the football team to a game. Jerry's got one of the new fancy buses. He claims he's the number one driver. We come home, it's about 10 o'clock that night, and as we pull into the back side of the high school, I always turn the lights on in the bus so the kids can see what they're doing and pick up the trash. And Jerry's fancy bus has LED lights on the inside, and about 300 of them, it seems like. And I flipped on the lights, and what was darkness to the astonishment of all the players? Oh, turn the lights off. I can't see a thing. It was so bright in there. It's hilarious to do that to them. I just think it's so funny. But light in the darkness changes things. And Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." And so, as a Christian, we're called to bring light into the darkness. Jesus is called the light of the world. He came into the world, into the darkness. Christ is in us when we're a Christian. And if we allow Christ to work in us and we no longer choose to represent ourselves, but we represent Christ, then the light of Christ will shine from us into a dark world. And one thing that we can do is spread some happiness when we have the opportunity. Notice something here when it says, "You are the salt of the earth." It doesn't say you will be the salt of the earth. But it says, "You are the salt of the earth." So we shouldn't try to deny it. That if we are a Christian, that we should be doing what we can to make some things a little bit different around us. Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, "You are the light." Not, "You will be the light one day," but "You are the light." So we are to bring happiness. We are to bring light into the darkness and change some things. And so when we talk of these things, it has to prompt you to ask the question, are we being successful in this? Do we succeed as a church? Do we succeed as an individual Christian at doing these things? And unfortunately, there are many people in our culture who think that we're not. In the book Unchristian, Gabe Lyons does a lot of research. And in his writings, he interviews those who are non-Christians. 87% of those who were polled say that Christians are judgmental. 85% say that we are hypocritical. Now, this may be not that fair. This might be slightly biased. Who knows? It may not be a fair assessment. But here's one thing I've always understood in my life. You can always try harder. Because when you think you're doing all that you think you need to do, then you've really fell into a trap. You can always try to do a little bit better. We can try to listen a little better and love a little more each and every day. And when we do that, we can spread some happiness. And so we should never fall into the trap that Satan lays for us to think, "I'm doing enough. I've done enough. Maybe I've done enough in the past. I'm kind of coasting now in life." Or, "I'm doing enough now. It's okay." We shouldn't allow ourselves to fall into that temptation or that trap. But we should always be trying to do a little bit better. When I was in high school, we'd play baseball and we'd have practice there in Kenmundy at the field on Highway 37 in town. The highway curved as it came into town and it went around the ball field. It was pretty close to the field. And when we were out there practicing, there'd be a lot of traffic that would travel that highway. If we'd get down to the high school, our high school was in a different town, it was in Fryna. Baseball field's in Kenmundy, so we had to drive down there. And we'd be in full-fledged practice by about 3:45. And it seemed like clockwork. And about every day at 4:30, we're out there practicing. And we wouldn't hear this truck coming, but we would smell this truck coming. There were a couple of hog farms that were in the rural parts of Kinmundy. And as you know, animals die. And every day about 4:30, the dead truck would come chugging around the corner under the railroad trestle, and around the curve it would come, and we had a fence with billboards. You couldn't see it, but you could smell it. Even if the wind was blowing in the wrong direction, if it was blowing away from the, you still smelled that thing. It was terrible. It'd come chugging around about 40 miles an hour, and after he left, you still smelled the dead, rotted carcasses of those animals in that truck for at least another 10 minutes. It just lingered in the air. You just hoped the coach didn't have you running sprints when he drove by. It was awful. It smelled terrible. There's a stark contrast between the ice cream truck and the dead truck. There's not a soul that's flocking to the dead truck. Like, I see what's in there. But you wanted to get as far away from that thing as you could. And I don't want to sound too harsh here, but I think there are too many people that drive around the dead truck. That in their social circle, they're the dead truck to the people that are around them. And unfortunately, they claim the name of Christ. They've given their life to Christ. But if they chose each and every day that their heart has been replaced with Christ, they no longer live for themselves, but they live for Christ, that Christ may be known. Or maybe has this just become old hat, done this for so long, I forgot what it feels like to live for Christ. You maybe don't realize it, but those around you do. And they just see you as the dead truck, driving around through life, not spreading any happiness. That might be the kind of person, as you see them coming, you kind of figure out how it is that you can see be busy. So when they go by, you don't have to really talk to them because, well, they're not spreading any happiness. We got to be careful of this. Because as a Christian, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Not you will be or you can, but it says you are, definitively. There's no, today I will, tomorrow I won't, then I'll do it a couple days, then I won't. No. You are. And so we have to live each day depositing some happiness in some people's lives. And so this morning, I'd like to offer you the keys to the ice cream truck so that you can spread happiness to those who are around you. What we have to know is this: happiness givers aren't born, but they're made. There will be days where we don't. We'll get down, we'll be frustrated, something will happen. But we pick ourselves back up, dust ourselves off, and we get back to the business of spreading some happiness. Our sinful nature tells us, please ourselves. Our sinful nature tells us to live for ourselves. Unfortunately, our culture tells us, live for ourselves. Do what makes you happy, regardless of how it may affect someone else. But we understand the Bible teaches us to live differently than that. We know by the example of Christ, that's not how he lived his life. And so we hold fast to that and choose to follow that. Happiness givers aren't born, they're made. And we have to make the decisions each and every day to follow closer to Christ and start dishing out some happiness. The Bible is very clear that God wants us to make people happy. There are 59 one another passages in the Bible. You can take these 59 one another passages that you find throughout Scripture, and you could divide them into 9 different categories. And so for the next 9 weeks, 9 Sundays, we're going to look at one of the categories each Sunday and how these can affect us in the ability for us to make others happy. It'll aid us in making those 10 people a week, if you average it out, happy, the 100 people over the next 10 Sundays. Here they are, so that you can kind of have a head start. It's in your sermon notes. It'll be on the screen. Here are the 9 that we're going to look at. Encourage one another. Accept one another. Admonish one another. Value others above yourself. Serve one another. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Pray for one another. Forgive one another and love one another. So the next 9 Sundays, we'll be going bit by bit through each one of those. And how it is that they can help us go the extra mile. Because that's what this is going to require. For us to be happiness givers, to do something in someone's life that would cause them some happiness, we're going to have to go the extra mile. We're going to have to think about how it is that we can do this. We're going to have to pray to God, asking Him to give us the thoughtfulness to do these things. And so, will you take the challenge? I can't make you, but maybe you can challenge yourself. Maybe you can challenge yourself to make 100 people happy over the next 10 Sundays. On average, we have roughly 130 adults that attend worship here on a Sunday. That's 1,300 happy people if we all take the challenge. How much different would our town be if there were 1,300 happy people walking around? And we don't know how the multiplication factor will work. Those 1,300 people might decide to make a few other people happy because of the happiness they received from you. Who knows? We don't. But we know with God's blessing, maybe something pretty cool could happen over the next 10 Sundays. Maybe people will look at you in a different light. Maybe people will think of the church, not just paint a Christian church, but as the church, as a place they want to belong as well. And in the end, if you take this challenge, you'll end up making 101 people happy. You might see something different in yourself. The happiness that comes through you by helping and making others happy. And most importantly, in the end, Jesus will be made known even more than He had been before we started this series of sermons, of messages, of challenges through Scripture. So, the challenge is there. We want to be happy people, not some fake facade that we just put on a happy smile and we fake it till we make it. There are days you just kind of got to do that, right? But to make it genuine, to be genuine with other people and try to figure out how it is they're struggling. What is it I could do for them? What's even just a simple word, as we've talked about words over the last several Sundays? What is it I can do this week to make 10 people happy? There's your challenge. And I'd love to hear some stories if you have any. It may be challenging to you, but take that challenge. This morning we're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you think back on it, what was the happiest day of your life? If you're sitting next to your spouse, probably got to say when we got married. But perhaps one of the happiest days of your life was the day you received Christ. How happy you were to know that you had a Savior that loved you so much, that was willing to die for your sins, and that all you have to simply do is receive Christ, confess Him, repent of your sin, and be baptized. And that's what we give an offer of this morning, to make a happy decision to receive Christ. I know many of you in this room have already done that, and as we sing this song of invitation, maybe you'll think back on that decision you made, whether it's been just a few months ago or a long, long time ago, however it's been, how Christ made you happy. Let's stand and let's sing this song this morning.